RBN Network. Yep, you got it tonight. You were here. It's Eric and Gary for now. We're going to see if Lori's available, but she's been tied up with a sick grandchild. And so God bless her. She's doing the Lord's work, taking care of, I think it's up to 9 children, grandchildren, other people's children, other people's grandchildren, foster children, babysitting, daycare children. I mean, she's extremely busy. So we're doing our best to get Lori back on here. But she'll be joining us eventually, hopefully tonight. We may get into a documentary in the second hour on the Vatican's role in the New World Order. And that'll be interesting listening for all the, for everybody out there. So thanks for joining us. If anybody wants to talk, it's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. This show stands on activism. See something, do something. Best thing you can do is get your jury nullification out. We just talked with Gary about last night about the Colorado 9 gentlemen, and I think it was one woman in Colorado who have been arrested and are facing long prison terms for this absurd, you know, made-up charge that they've been threatening judges when all they did, and this was, you know, this was the government's case was, they put a lien against some county commissioner's and then it screwed up his credit. Okay, so I mean that's. Oh, and they were passing out flyers near the where the judges live, and that was pretty much it. They got him for trying to influence a public official and threatening this and you know terrorizing that. And it's absolute. And this is why, until you have people in your town or county fully aware of the fully informed jury and their right and their duty to exercise jury nullification and judge the law. They are the last blast. That's it. That's when it hits the jury from there, it's either goes into freedom or total tyranny. And we've had great cases of jury nullification being exercised and working well, like it did with the Bundy case, federal case in Oregon. And we've had situations where it hasn't been even considered because the juries are stupid. They're cowardly, they're malleable, they're influenced, easily influenced, they're childlike in their thinking, their discernment's at near zero, and this is why getting back to the Word and Scripture, the Bible talks about discernment. it talks about being wise and being, you know, once again, it doesn't say blessed are the stupid. So people having knowledge is not a bad thing. My people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So many times God repeats himself saying, you know, be meek and be humble, but do not be stupid or a fool. There's a difference. Gary, any comments on that?
I just unmuted myself. I think you're 100% right in the area. I do have a comment a little bit off of that, but I have suggested over the time that when we were going to do something in the Patriot Movement, we ought to do that which comes from the Constitution, and it's right there and right in our face, and we have them all across the country, and that is the militias. I think that the Patriots should have went in the area of the militia, which is a constitutional, well-regulated militia, to protect the people who are going into these juror courts, and be a solemn force there. And the people that know this, if you would take a case and try a judge, and he doesn't have a real oath of office, well, that's treason. And when you do that, you have to have the enforcement. Now they're talking about putting all these marshals out there, and that may be a very good idea. But it doesn't just say you can be in the Constitution and go make a marshal anytime you want. So I know I'm speaking to some real great patriots out here, as I've learned over this course of time, being on with Eric, and I'm suggesting that if we're going to go into this patriot system, that we should use that which we have, which is in the Constitution, a well-regulated militia. And then we need to be a nation that is also bending our knee to our Father, the Creator. He says over and over in Scripture, but in two verses in Leviticus chapter 25, he said, if you do my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my this, and then you'll live in the land safely. So just an idea of going back and look at what Scripture said. The pulpits of America is what has ruined us. They have told us that the law is done away with, that there's no such thing. Well, can you imagine you buying a car and have a manual to it, and it says you need to change oil every 3,000 or 6,000 miles, and you say, well, that don't mean nothing. That's been done away with. You'd find out in a hurry that you wouldn't have an engine very long. So I think that's where I'm at, Eric.
You're exactly right on that. This is from Ezra Stiles on May 8th, 1783. That all forms of civil polity have been tried by mankind except one, and that seems to have been reserved in Providence to be realized in America. Our system of dominion and civil polity would be imperfect without the true religion, or that from the diffusion of virtue among the people of any community would arise their greatest secular happiness, which will terminate in this conclusion that holiness ought to be the end of all civil government. That thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God. In our lowest and most dangerous state in 1776 and 1777, we sustained ourselves against the British army of 60,000 troops commanded by the ablest British generals, ablest generals that Britain could procure throughout Europe, with a naval force of 22,000 seamen and above 80 men of war. Those are ships. Who but a Washington inspired by heaven could have conceived the surprise move upon the enemy at Princeton that Christmas Eve when Washington and his army crossed the Delaware? Who but the ruler of the winds could have delayed the British reinforcements by 3 months of contrary ocean winds at a critical point in the war? or what but a providential miracle at the last minute detected the treacherous scheme of traitor Benedict Arnold, which would have delivered the American army, including George Washington himself, into the hands of the enemy? On the French role in the Revolution, it is God who so ordered the balancing interests of nations as to produce an irresistible motive in the European maritime powers to take our part. The United States are under peculiar obligations to become a holy people unto the Lord our God. I thought that was an interesting intermingling between the divine and the earthly. Gary?
Yeah, and I think that's just great. You know, as I look on it, you see, when I was raised as a young child by my grandparents from 2.5 ages until the time I graduated from high school, and they were the greatest parents a person could ever have. But we belonged to the Methodist Church at the time, United Methodist. And then later on, as I got married, my wife was raised Roman Catholic. I was raised what I just said. We decided as a family we were going to seek out and go to a Baptist church. Well, all the church entities, and I know people say, well, if we didn't have them, we have really even worse chaos than we have. And that's true. But the worst chaos we have is we're not being blessed by our Father. So of all the time in my 80-some years that I lived, and my wife and I lived, we both come to the conclusion, even we decided when the Baptists, after we'd been in there for a length of time, myself especially, that there's never been a time when they ever told us that we should rest the land. Now, people who live in the city say, well, we don't need to rest the land. Well, they're just part of it. And there's all kinds of laws in Leviticus chapter 25 that cover the people who live in the city with houses and all these different things. And these are the things that we need to do. These are our commandments. He says, because Abraham done my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my everything, I blessed the people of Abraham's time. So what we need is a repentance time of bending our knee to our Father, the Creator, and but if you suggest this, and you're in a church, I got excommunicated out of a Baptist church. I want everybody to know that. I'm not proud of it, but because I would read the Scripture, and I suggest to anybody, I don't need somebody to tell me when it says every 7 years you need to rest the land. I don't need somebody to make any rulings or judgments on that. This is right straight from the Father's mouth.
And it turns out to be a scientifically confirmed fact. I mean, you've got to let the soil recondition and revive itself. You can farm a field out until the nutrition and the minerals and all the biological activity, the microorganisms are gone, and then you wind up with more or less dead ground, and it takes much, much longer than for it to come back. You've got to let it go for decades. Am I wrong on that, Gary?
You're exactly right. And by that rest, we did it only a couple times in our lifetime, okay, on our own farm. And like I said, I'll be going out west to speak at a conference. And basically, it's about how to do energies and all these things. But without using the Scriptures, I couldn't suggest to you that the only thing that brought the farm around was my super idea of fertilizing everything. No. When we rested the soil, I can't explain to anybody exactly what happens when you rest the land. I do know that when we rested the land, we had double the amount of crop that we had before we rested it. Now, for instance, we had 175 bushel per acre of spelts on our test plot when we rested, and after we rested the soil, it happened to be a golden jubilee also, we ended up, the first crop we planted after that, we had 325 bushels per acre.
Wow.
So we had people coming from afar to take a look at the soil. So I can't say that our fertilizer program did it, because that would be a total lie. Okay? So, like I say, if you want to look at it like a manual, you know, if you got a Ford engine, it best you use the Ford manual. And if you got a Chevy manual, for a Ford, it's not going to work as well. And this is what we have. We have all these different manuals out here, and different people speaking from the pulpit with their own knowledge of whatever. And all they have to do is read it. As I said to you when we talked before, I will not tell you something that I can't read. When our father said, and he's got all the witnesses, when he was on the face of this earth, and we call him Yodivah, he in the flesh, he stated that he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. He sent his disciples out, the lost sheep of Israel. He told them not to go on the ways of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Well, Gentiles were nations, and that's not a race of people. But we don't need to explain it away or anything. All you need to do is read it and follow it. But for some reason, well, we know what they did during the Great Revolution here, is when our church was over here, were founded, they ran out of preachers. So what they did, went back to England to get some preachers, and really what they got was a bunch of trained attorneys. And they put these trained attorneys in the pulpits of America. And they've been there ever since. That's part of our history. You can go back and read it.
Yeah. Very interesting. This is from Jean-Jacques Rousseau. I will confess to you that the majesty of the scriptures strikes me with admiration, as the purity of the gospel has its influence upon my heart. Pursue the works of our philosophers with all their pomp of diction. How mean, how contemptible are they compared with the scriptures? Is it possible that a book at once so simple and sublime should be merely the work of man? Is it possible that the person whose history it relates be himself a mere man? Does it contain the language of an enthusiast or an ambitious sectary? With that, we're going to be right back after this break. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer with Gary. Back in a minute, you're listening to the RBN Network. Stay with us.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge $20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Broadcast, my friends. Welcome back. You're listening to the RBN Network. It's Eric Freedom Streamer along with Gary here. Rousseau continued to say, everything is good when it leaves the hands of the Creator. Everything degenerates in the hands of man. I shall always maintain that whoso says in his heart there is no God, while he takes the name of God upon his lips, is either a liar or a madman. Where is the man who owes nothing to the land in which he lives? Wherever that land may be, he owes to it the most precious thing possessed by man, the morality of his actions, and the love of virtue. With that, we're going to go to Ken in New York. How are you, Ken?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thank you. I have a question for Gary. You're talking about resting the land, and I had read and I had also heard that that when we started using electricity, we stopped using wood stoves generally for general use, maybe for cooking or heating, and that you used to take the ash and spread the ash around the gardens or maybe the farmland. There might have been a lot of it at one time. Would that be a reason for a lack of mineralization in soil today? And how does that affect crops?
Let me get unmuted here. Yeah, Ken, that's a very good question. And we still, in fact, I have a fire going for tonight. It's a little bit chilly here in Michigan. And we spread the ashes. I have a compost pile. We compost everything that we have in the farm, and of course we don't have any dairy cattle anymore for our own manure. But when you rest the land, it's something that our father has put together. And when we ask the land, we usually try and put a green cover crop. We usually try and put alfalfa in there to for nitrogen fixing, and of course the alfalfa, the non-hybrid alfalfas, the roots go down 20 feet deep. That's the thing that they go down into that soil that far. And if you've been blessed by the father of living in Illinois or some places in Iowa, where the soil, the depth of the aerobic soil is 8-10 feet, you really got yourself a real base of a lot of minerals. But you're absolutely correct. We have misused the land or the soil, the ground, so much that we are going to bed with full bellies, but we're suffering from lack of nutrition. And by the way, when you look up the word ground in Strong's Concordance, and that's the ground was the building blocks to create Adam and Eve, and the only thing he took from Adam was a couple of ribs on their soul, and he built Adam's everything we have right from the soil. And I've been doing some work on that for over the year or so, that I call it organs of the field. And every organ that you have in your body, everything that happens is out in that field also. So there's a whole area of resting the land that it's unexplainable in some areas. In some areas, we're learning more. Okay? Hey, Ken?
Can you hold me for the break?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll be right back after this break.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Well, don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you, therefore you're not far
out. Welcome back to the broadcast, my friend. Eric the Freedom Screamer, Gary in Michigan. We're talking about resting the land. The first thing that came to mind, before we go back to Ken and then we got Jim in Missouri, the first thing that came, two things came to my mind is the reconditioning of the soil. First of all, the one of the main fertilizers, from at least from above, are the bird droppings and the bugs that decompose, you know, that are active on the surface, you know, of all different kinds of species of small bugs end up, you know, having their life cycle and dying, and they decompose and down into the earth and become fertilizer. And of course, the bird droppings, they're very rich in all kinds of nutrients, because the birds eat the berries and then they drop on the ground. And that's what two of the great, very effective fertilizers from above. And then, of course, underneath the soil, you have the worms. The earthworms castings are a very popular fertilizer. You know, they sell them at the nurseries and the landscaping centers. Earthworm castings, they're called. And that's a fantastic fertilizer, very rich in nitrogen and other, you know, nutrients that reintroduce not only the main nutrients and the minerals, but the biological activity, the microorganisms that actually, it's like the friendly bacteria that you would find in yogurt that benefits your intestines. There's a similar bacteria that benefit live plant roots and make the root systems much healthier and vigorous. And so, yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind. But Ken, back to you. Any other comments before we go to...
Yes, if you have the time, I have one for you, but I just say to Gary, thanks, and I can only live vicariously through your fire, because if I put a stove in here on Long Island, they make the homeowner's insurance pretty expensive, and if you don't report it and you inadvertently have something, any kind of a house fire, they won't pay out on you.
I just went through that, Ken. We had a situation where we have a garage. We had to have some gasoline and oil in it and stuff. And for all these years, I had storage. I had a wood stove in there so we could, you know, warm the tractors up in the wintertime and whatever, and work in there a little bit. But now I have to take that same wood stove and I have to get it to the base 20 inches off the ground or off the cement. Because they claim that the fumes will come 6 inches high, and you could light the fire and decay the whole thing. and they will not insure it unless I have it up 20 inches. So I've had to get some legs and put underneath it, and I haven't got the whole job done yet. But one other thing I'd just like to say, getting back to the soils and that, the other thing, our father told us that everything will be kind after kind. So we have never used a hybrid seed of any type on either the home farm or the farm down the road. And we've farmed it organically all our life, even before it was a thing that we did, and you could pay and you could get more money for your crops. But we always farmed it biologically, at least, if not somewhat towards organic. But when you plant a hybrid, now they got the GMOs, it makes it more drastic and more. There's just no end to what you can say about that situation. But when you plant the hybrid or these GMOs, now the soil doesn't know what to do with it. For instance, the hybrids take very, very little. It takes no manganese up at all. Manganese is the reproduction mineral. And they don't take up any copper. And if you plant hybrid corn, one thing they found out, it takes lots of zinc for some reason. But it throws your balance of your soil out of balance. And, of course, these plants, they do have a brain system. They have they have their own blood system, which we call chlorophyll. So they have a way of recognizing and doing what they have and take up what they need to take up to reproduce themselves. Their idea is to reproduce the seed and be there for us to eat in a pure form. So you can see how all these man-made things, they just throw monkey wrenches into the creation. As the father said, he reminded Noah. He says, when you do that, put them on by pairs, but only kind after kind. So evidently, by the time Noah come along, they even had the animals mixed up. And we always had purebred dogs. We always had a purebred herd of cows. We never went out and did. I was taught that from my grandparents. And we had a little form of back in those days of summer. We called it summer falling the land. But we didn't rest the whole farm. But we'd like rest it and work it in that area.
Little sections at a time. Kind of a rotation. Anything else?
Yes, I have something to add about your presentation you made, was it last Wednesday, about the Masons? And by the way, Gary could probably short-circuit a curriculum and get himself a PhD.
Well, thank you very much.
Challenge the curriculum.
I just want to share with you, I have studied over the many years, and we've done a lot of tests, a lot of research, and I work for a company called Impro who sold milk from giver cows to stimulate immune systems to knock back the bacteria that we don't need in the milk and things. So I've did all these things, but there's a heck of a lot more that I don't know than I do know. I'll guarantee you that.
I know. I say the same.
Yes.
I believe it. Even in my field, I know electronics. I've been in it all my life, but there's always something else to learn. Eric, there's something to expand on the thing that you had with the Masons. That was very interesting. And have you ever heard of DC Street Sorcery by the late Pastor Peters?
I'm familiar with his stuff, yep.
Okay, I just ordered the disc. They're selling them for $10 for both. They've been selling them for years now, but he had a guy that was walking here. This guy that's in the DVDs contacted him. I have the original, a couple of the MP3s of his early shows back in 2009. This guy was walking. He must be some kind of a mathematician or something. He was walking around talking about these things, about how the streets were laid out. And he asked Pastor Peters to send him anointing oil, and he was trying to, like, anoint the buildings to kill whatever it was that was, you know, he was trying to undo whatever it was that Albert Pike started. And he went through all the layouts of the street, and when I thought about that again, that thing that I told you about several weeks ago where somebody was shot in Patchogue during a ritual, I didn't mention something, that the guy that got shot, belonged to the Brookhaven Town Planning Commission. Isn't that special?
Oh, that is lovely.
All right, I'll go, and I'll keep listening. Good night.
Good night, Ken.
And thanks for the call. Yeah, we appreciate you checking in tonight. It's good to hear from you, as always. With that, we're going to bounce over to Jim in Missouri, and then probably going to get into the documentary, and that'll take up most of our second hour. So, Jim, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. Listen, this community of people, the Patriots, whatever you want to call it, need to really embrace permaculture. I mean, I'm studying it right now. I'm in the middle of a design certificate course. It is a design science for you to mimic nature to your advantage. And we're talking about fertility of the land. We're talking about water retention, water storage. It's all over the board. I will warn you, and I'm in disagreement with the permaculture community. They're into this global warming stuff, and it's kind of a green type of a culture where they're almost tree hugger type, and they're just a little bit misguided, but the technology works, and it works abundantly, and we really need, I encourage everybody to get involved in it. Just, you know, turn your head when it comes to, you know, the green effect or the tree hugger, you know, Sierra Club stuff. You just got to turn your head on it. It works. It works abundantly. And we can refertilize our soils. We can pull the minerals up. I think he was talking about like alfalfa that will bring minerals up. Well, there's dozens of plants that will do that. We're looking for perennial plants that do that, so that they come back every year. You don't have to regrow them every year. They just keep coming up, kind of like a fruit tree or something on
sure.
that line.
Yep.
But it works. Just when you get into investigating it, you know, turn your head away from the tree huggers because, you know, it's just, no, I mean, we're going to have machinery use for certain purposes. We don't need it to the extent that we do. We don't need oil to the extent we do. We have alternative energies if they're used properly. You can capitalize on that. And anyway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Even the Amish, I know, around these parts, you know, they'll use motorized, you know, different types of saws and machines. One leather guy uses one for his leather finishing. And they don't use motors for anything that moves or travels, but they will use motors for stationary, you know, situation. So, you know, even they use a certain amount of technology,
well,
and apparently some of them are pretty sophisticated users of the smartphone, which I found kind of funny. But, I love permaculture, and, of course, I like aquaponics, which is where you grow kind of hydroponically, but you have fish swimming around in the with the water, and the fish fertilize the plants like the, you know, birds would fertilize the soil. And then I also like straw bale growing, where you can just dig out. You can hollow out a bale of straw and just grow in it as if that were your medium.
We need to talk because my dream house is a straw bale house.
Oh,
I am gonna have some igloo dome structures for safety, but I want a straw bale house, and I'm going to do permaculture. I'm going to do aquaculture, and aquaculture is the future. That is it. I'm telling you right now, there are in parts of the world, they're building 50,000 square foot greenhouses for aquaculture or aquaponics.
Aquaponics. That's fantastic.
That is the future.
Absolutely.
That's the future.
Yep. It's a great technology. Yes. Well, thanks for the call, Jim. We're going to get on to we got another break coming up, and then we're going to do our documentary. So we appreciate hearing from Jim and Ken. There's all kinds of very interesting. We're going to skip a break. So what I'm going to do now is basically we're going to scoot on over to the. I'm going to introduce the interview. It's a documentary. It's an interview with Bill Hughes, who's a pastor and a researcher into the New World Order, a great historian. I like his stuff. He presents it very well. And so what we're going to hear is about an hour-long documentary, but with commercials taking up, 10 or 15 minutes in the next hour, we should get going on it pretty soon here. So I want to thank Gary for being I'm going to stay on the line with Mike here for about 10 minutes till probably the top of the hour, and then I might sign off. Just to make sure everything goes right with the video or the documentary that we're going to present. And so I want to thank Gary for being with us tonight, talking about resting of the land and reconditioning of the soil and how it's not only biblical, but it's scientific. And so much depends upon the quality of the soil. If Gary made a great point, many people have full bellies full of food that is completely absent of any nutritional value, empty calories, things that are just all bulk and no nutrition. And that's one of the main reasons is the depleted soil, the depleted minerals, the depleted nutrients, and the depleted biological activity, the friendly bacterial organisms that benefit the root structures and recondition the soil. So I thought that was an interesting talk tonight. We appreciate our callers checking in. So, Mike, do you think it's about the right time to go to that documentary right now? Gary, we're going to, Mike says it's a good time. So, Gary, we're going to thank you tonight. Thank you for, Gary, just give us a quick one-minute prayer before we go to the documentary. Pray real quick for our persecuted patriot friends that they might be freed from the witch's prison. And that their jailers and that their persecutors may be in the position that our patriots are in right now, and the roles may be reversed someday in the near future. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, we wish the patriots that are listening would join in and fellowship with us in this time of prayer. These folks need a lot of prayer, and we all need a lot of prayer. So we come to our Father again tonight, and we ask a blessing upon these people who have put their hearts out, their life out, and their lives of their family out here, and with the government to try and take them out. And also, they're not there to injure anybody. All they're trying to do is bring forth the things that our forefathers give us and actually come from our Father, the Creator, our inalienable rights. That's all we're asking for. So therefore, we pray for the Bundys. We pray for the Harmons. We pray for the Colorado Nine now, since Curry's been caught. And we also pray for John Lactaber, I think it's Lactaber. We pray, Father, for a blessing upon all these folks. As we prayed last night, only you can open up the doors of the prison, and we ask that you do that in regards to what these folks are sacrificing themselves for. We ask this all in Yodi Vahi's name, so be it.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow night. Appreciate your being here. And I just wanted to remind people before we go to the documentary that a counter agent, a neutralizing factor for the aluminum that's in the chemtrails and the geoengineering, the stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, so to speak, chemtrails, that are extremely high in aluminum toxicity. A counteragent to that is the application of gypsum, because the sulfur in the gypsum will eventually dissolve the aluminum particles and return your soil to a more natural original state. So I want to remind people there's a solution there. And with that, I want to thank Mike on the board for putting this together. Enjoy the documentary. Here we go with the Vatican's role in the New World Order and Pastor Bill Hughes. Thanks, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Welcome to At Issue. I'm your host, Steve Stavro. This week, we're going to be discussing the Vatican's role in the New World Order. Joining us is Bill Hughes, and thank you for being with us, Bill. Bill's an author, researcher, and pastor of the church here in Umatilla, Florida. I hope I said that right. Umatilla, Florida.
You got it, Steve.
Okay. And if you would, Bill, just let's just launch into this discussion with what do you think the Vatican's role is in the New World Order?
Steve, I think ultimately they control every aspect of the New World Order, from the political leaders, the financial gurus of our world today, and also the churches of today. I think that's the clear picture that we have. And all the research that I have done, Steve, pinpoints the domination of the Vatican in the world affairs of today. It's very secretive, Steve, in their involvement in all of these things, because they look like they're so good and trying to promote peace and trying to promote harmony throughout the world. But in actuality, they're the ones that are pulling the strings behind the scenes. And again, in the political, religious, and economic realms of this world.
Okay. And for those who are not familiar with the workings of the Vatican, maybe we should just touch on who controls the Vatican. When we say that word, what the Vatican means, the papacy, of course, but maybe who is controlling the papacy, and who do you see as wielding the power behind the throne, as to say it in a certain way?
Well, in a spiritual context, the Vatican means the divining serpent, and the serpent throughout history, whether it be biblical history, whether it be secular history, as far back as the Garden of Eden, the serpent, of course, was the medium through which the devil sought to destroy our first parents, Adam and Eve. So ultimately, the devil is behind the Vatican. Now, when you look at in a human point of view, it's clear from history that the Jesuit order, which is the military arm of the Catholic Church, that they control the white pope, the one who we all see out in front. At this point, of course, it's Pope Benedict XVI. But ultimately, the one behind the white pope is the black pope, the Jesuit general.
And when you say the military arm of the Vatican, I think it's important that we say, you're not speaking hyperbole, you're speaking literally. They have a history of being assassins. If we could touch on just a few things in their history, maybe that's the way to approach this. Let's go back to 1517, Martin Luther's come on the scene, and the whole Protestant Reformation has begun.
When you look at history, Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses on the door at Wittenberg in 1517. And from there, of course, he stood before the Diet of Worms and Charles V in 1521. The Reformation spread like wildfire because people for centuries had listened to tradition and had listened to lies and myths and foolishness. And so when Luther came in with his two great themes, one of sola fide, by faith alone, and the other sola scriptura, the Bible and the Bible only, Steve, these sent a shockwave throughout Europe. And the Vatican, that had stood so strong and so powerful for so long, they were shaken at their very foundations. And so you come up to the diets that were held. Of course, the Diet of Worms in 1521, the Diet of Spires in 1526, the Diet of Augsburg in 1530. Charles V sought every possible means to destroy the Reformation of Martin Luther. But he couldn't stop it. And so in the 1530s, you have the rise of a man by the name of Ignatius Loyola, and Loyola's intent was to destroy the Protestant Reformation of Luther and other reformers who started to rise throughout Europe. Well, by 1540, the Jesuit order was established. It was established for two basic reasons, very simply. It was established, number one, to destroy everything that the Protestant Reformation stood for. And the other thing is that as it would destroy the Protestant Reformation, it would reestablish the authority and power of the Roman Catholic Church. In that light, it's so critical that we understand everything that the Protestant Reformation stood for. Most people who still understand the Protestant Reformation think it was simply a religious movement. Well, of course, it was a powerful religious movement, but it infiltrated, it filtered into every aspect of human life. It had power and authority in government, because prior to the Reformation, there had been no such thing as republican government. It had all been monarchical, where you have a person dominating the populace. But the Protestant Reformation brought in the idea and the principle that there could be republican, representative government. In the economic realm, through the Dark Ages, when the papacy ruled, you had the wealthy class, you had the very, very rich, you had the very, very poor. Well, the Protestant Reformation brought in the concept of a middle class, that people could earn a living, and based on their talents and their skills and their hard work, they could make their own money. So the Protestant Reformation brought in representative government, it brought in a middle class, and then, of course, in the religious arena, it brought in the fact that people could worship God not as their pope or their priest told them to do, but they could go to God through Jesus Christ and not have to go through any man.
So no middleman.
No middleman, Steve. That's exactly right.
Right.
So these concepts, they came, and these are the fruits of the Protestant Reformation.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.